I sure do love it. Love it. You know, when I was a kid, y'all, no secret to y'all that I loved sports, and that's the fact that was the sole passion of my life, and that's probably the only reason why I didn't get in jail, thrown in jail in early days was because of sports. But in it, my heart and my passion was to grow up to be my older brother, Bud. He was 12 years older than me, and he played football, baseball, and basketball, and because he played football, baseball, and basketball, I played football, baseball, and basketball, you know, and a lot of the aspirations I did were in relationship to him. I wanted to grow up to be like my older brother. And, you know, and it was a really crazy day because at one point in time in basketball that where I started could very easily beat him. And that was almost confusing to me. I mean, seriously, I remember the first time I beat him and I could easily, because he was like 5'10 and I'm 6'1. So, you know, big difference there playing when you play basketball. And so I could easily beat him. But I grew up into the destiny that God had for me. And, you know, that is what God has for us to grow up to be like our big brother Jesus. You know, and we've been talking about this a lot, and we're not going to stop talking about it. But today's a little bit different because we're going to launch something. Not official launch, that'll come at the beginning of the year, but to lay some foundations in relationship to growth. I remember, y'all know that when I first got saved, my mindset was don't smoke, don't drink, don't chew, don't go to girls that do, just go to church, carry your Bible. I didn't necessarily read it, but carry it with you. Yeah, I had it, you know, and it even matched my pants, you know, and that's it. Same pants I wore to church every Sunday. You know, there was red polyesters. I had a white belt, too, to go with it, y'all. So, I mean, it was styling, bro. Let me tell you. So, I wonder if I still have those pants, man. Yeah, that's right. And so, anyway, you know, I said, well, I guess it'd be cool for me to read this Bible. And I started trying to read through it. I started in the book of Matthew, but after I got through a couple of three of the Gospels, I would go, what did I just read? It didn't have no impact in my life, you know. And I just did not know how to grow in my relationship with God. I remember, then when I turned my life over to Jesus, and I had a passion to minister and love on other people, love on other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I remember being in Okeechobee, and there was this guy that came from Belgrade to visit. He was desperate for answers in his life. He had a serious alcohol addiction. And I remember he came up and to visit me. And I remember sitting there with him, and I started sharing really all I knew to share. And when I think back, I'm going, Jesus, have mercy on my soul, because what I shared with him, I'm going, man, I don't know if I might have helped him go to hell. I don't know what, you know. I mean, I don't know, because I did not know what to impart to him or how to impart to him life-changing truths of God. And that's what we're going to start is here for the next few weeks. Our heart is imparting this that you would know the foundations of spiritual growth. And that's what the title this morning, Foundations of Growth. This is foundations in relationship to you or I growing. And also, as you sit down with somebody else, that these foundations, you would be able to minister these to others. You comfort others with the same comfort you've been comforted by God. So foundations for growth. And this morning I'm going to speak on really the basic. For the interns, I've changed the word here. Receiving the revelations of God. Because you got to realize this, God is constantly revealing himself to us because he knows in the revelation of himself to us, it transforms us into the very likeness of who he is. He did not come down here telling us to try to form do's and don'ts and try to live by. He came revealing who he was so that when we see who he is and we receive who he is, it transforms who we are. He who fixes his hope on him purifies himself just as he himself is pure. 1 John 3:3. So I just real quick, I want to lay out these four foundations of growth. Real simple, some key words. Oh yeah, if anybody doesn't have a sheet, raise your hand. Mitchie Poo will pass them out. And Tara and BJ don't. So you do or don't? You did do or don't? Yeah. Hand me that one. I'll give that one to BJ and Tara. Here you go. Oh, you got it. Anybody else need one? So. Hey, Pete, I need you to see me after the service. I need y'all to take something back to the Regen program. So anyway, there are four steps, and I'm just going to speak on one today. This first off is we behold the revelations of God. Key word there is received. And in fact, I just want, and there's Bethers. How cool. Oh, it's so cool to see Beth here. Man. So I says behold, and really the word I've just taken out, behold refers to another past scripture. But just for simplicity, to use the word receive. Respond to the implanted word of God or to God's revelations. To lay aside anything that's contrary to the revelations of God. And to practice or walk out what has been seen or heard. Now, we'll each one of these, bunch of us will be preaching these as we go along. But this morning, I want to focus on, let's go to the next slide, to receive the revelations of God, knowing that in receiving the revelations of God, there'll be change. And so I want to clarify something here. When, how in the world did that get there? Go to the next slide. What did that do? Oh, yeah. When I say revelations of God, what do I mean? What does that mean? Well, notice first thing is this God's glory, God's truth, or God's word? Revelation literally means to unveil. And so what you look at is what are the things that God that gives it given us as an unveiling of himself to us? And first is his glory, that we with an unveiled face is beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And we know glory literally means thoughts, opinions, and recognition. Or his truth. If we know his truth, and Craig prayed it earlier, declared it earlier, who is truth? Who is truth? Jesus. What is truth? His word, heart of truth, is the Holy Spirit, or Spirit of truth. And so those three facets of truth are in together bring the fullness of truth. And if you know the truth, that just don't believe it, the revelation of God in truth, it will set you free, not just to believe it. And then the third thing is the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. So when I speak the revelations of God, think in relationship to either glory, truth, or his word. And and different things can fall under those categories. Also, when I say receive, and that's one of the things I think I missed a slide up on, is that when I say receive his revelation, I want you to think of it in three things. Attitude, receive, literally receive by paying attention, or understanding. So receive, pay attention, or understand. And I'll talk about these as we go on. So, now, when Paul and I had kids, we had to take ownership in that. And that we had to take care of them. And so, in growing and raising up kids, I'm sitting there looking at David and Leanne, and not long, 10th? Is it 10th? You're due. And I'm speaking the 12th into existence. I know Leanne's not wanting those extra 2 days. The 12th is my birthday, so I'm just going. But she's going 10th or earlier. But they are going to have Emma Grace. Emma Grace is coming forth into this world, and they're going to participate with Emma Grace in raising her up. And so they have a part in this. God also, as being the awesome Father, has a part in us growing up into his likeness. And you can find this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, God's part to this. In fact, one time, and I've said this here before, but one time I was crying out to God about, I had one of those pity parties, and it was just me that was invited. And, well, I was trying to get God there, but he didn't want to come. And so, in fact, I'm inviting him to come, and he goes, Rick, I've already given you everything or need to give you victory in this particular area you're talking about. And I go, okay, where is it? And he spoke this passage of scripture to me in 2 Peter. And so, go to the next slide, please, which I hope is in the right order. Nope. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. Is that it? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I don't know, because it was a crazy morning. Crazy morning. Paula's sick at home, and so anyway. But anyway, notice this passage of scripture. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. In what? In the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then the next verse also is in the same vein, and this is the one he spoke to me. He says, God has given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything. Everything, y'all. You know what everything means? Everything. And that's when he said to me, he says, Rick, I've already given you everything. And I'm going, this is when I said, where's it at? And he says, here it is. And so through the true knowledge of him who has called us, it says, by, but a better translation is to his glory and excellence. And how you know it's to, what is sin? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's what he's called us to, his glory, who he is, who what he thinks, and that's what he's called us to, into his excellence. That's what he's called us into. So, but notice what it says here. The revelation of him is revealed in the knowledge of God. In fact, when you pick up this, realize that this book will only come to you in one of two ways. It will either come to you as a revelation of the knowledge of God. Now, when I say knowledge of God, realize that knowledge to God is not some like having knowing how many Amorites there are. Had a friend that was going to grow spiritually, and how he's going to grow spiritually, he used the Bible trivia book, game, and he would just memorize the Bible trivia game. And I'm going, bro, that's sick. Knowing how many Amorites there are doesn't matter. I mean, I just want to know how to live. I mean, when I got to seminary, the professor says, can you turn to the book of, I can't remember what it was, it's like book of Micah. Is that a book? It is a book, isn't it? Yeah. And I'm going, okay, Jesus. And all the other students are going, ch-ch-ch-ch. And I'm going, where is it? So, you know, when in doubt, table of contents. And so you know, it ain't the details, it ain't the facts, y'all. It's the truth. It's the knowledge of him, you know, that changes and transforms our lives. And so that the revelation of that, notice this, though. I want you to notice, grace and peace is multiplied to you in the knowledge of him. Now, you ask the question is, before I ask that question. And notice the next phrase, life and godliness is released into your life and my life through the knowledge of him. And later on in this chapter, and I don't have the slide to it, but Peter makes the statement, he says, if our responses to this revelation is ours and is increasing, it will render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. Because here's the thing that I find is that I know more than I'm walking in. How do I know? Because how I know when I'm walking in the knowledge of who he is, it looks just like Jesus. And when I'm walking in a way that don't look like Jesus, guess what? There's an area in my heart that's not in line with the knowledge of who he is. If you know the truth will what? Set you free. If I see the glory, it will transform me from glory to glory. And it's the word of God which performs its work in you who believe. So the knowledge of God. But then there's another thing. There's a checkbook in here, y'all. It's a checkbook. And that's in verse 4. Go to the next slide. Where it says, I hope, yes, for by these, He's granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. In fact, when you think, the Greek word for promise literally means to summons upon. It is the same as a check. They did not have checks back in that day, but it is the same thing as a check. When you get a check, you summons upon a bank account. God wrote a checkbook to us, and he says, cash the checks. In 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, as far as many as the promises of God in him, they are yes. In other words, he don't write a check and say, excuse me, I withdrew the funds from that account. You can't withdraw them. But you read the rest of that passage of scripture, as many as God's promises in him, they are yes. And it goes on to say, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Amen means what? So be it. So in this, we're talking about the revelation of God is coming to us, either the knowledge of God or God's promises. Either the knowledge of God or his promises. And notice the powerful revelation, the thing that the knowledge of God does in our lives, it releases the nature of God in and around us. Notice that passage, what it says. So that by them, the them is the promises, by them you may participate in the divine nature. I heard, God heal us of religion that tells us what God can do and cannot do. One of my favorite stories is when I was in seminary, I read this book called Fire on the Mountain. Did you have to read that, Will? Fire on the Mountain. It was a missionary book on the mission movement in Ethiopia. And it was prior to World War II. And what happened was these missionaries went into Ethiopia just before World War II in the 1930s, and they started ministering the gospel. And so people started getting saved. But then all of a sudden, Hitler came into Northern Africa, and so the missionaries had to leave. And they had only translated for the people, the Ethiopian people, the Book of Mark. And so when missionaries were leaving, they're grieved, they're sad because they feel like this fledgling church, this fledgling believers of, that just these people just got saved, babes in Christ. And all they've got is the Book of Mark. The Book of Mark, where the main word it's used in the Book of Mark, immediately, Jesus immediately. You do something immediately. These people in Ethiopia knew. They just had the Book of Mark. These signs shall follow them. Nope, that's the wrong book. Yeah, no, that's the right book. Mark 16. These signs shall follow them that believe. Hey, sounds good to me. And anyway, the interesting thing, these people, they just got a hold of this book. So the missionaries left. Well, they came back after the war, and they're thinking, man, just probably... And things are just holding on by a thread when they get back. And the church is hot. People are done getting massively saved. Signs and wonders occurred. People would come up to a river and they go, and it was flooded. That's that in the story. It was flooded and they go, well, Jesus in the book, he walked on water across it. So they just believe God. If you have faith, they'd walk across the river. God's honest truth. They were having all kind of crazy signs and wonders. Because people were not telling what they could not believe for. Promises of God. Releasing the divine nature of God in our lives. The very nature of God. I hate this statement, so never say this statement around me. After all, we're only human. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul says, if you're walking in the flesh, you're acting like mere men. You're called to be like Jesus. And that is the basis of the judgment that you and I will face. That we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. That's not a condemnation statement. That's a statement of possibilities, y'all. And when we just go, Jesus, I don't know how this looks, but I'm just going to believe you for revelation who you are be manifested in my life. That's how I feel. Don't get sophisticated. I remember when I got home from seminary with my cousin one time, and he was one of these guys, just real simple guy about Jesus, Earl, just real simple. Real simple. He'd just go to hospital and pray for people, and they'd just leave the hospital. I mean, he went to the hospital. This person was dying of leukemia. He goes one day to pray for him. They check out of the hospital. No kidding. Checked out of the hospital the next day. Well, I was there with Earl, and I was going to expand to Earl my revelations in seminary and try to impress him. So I began to wax eloquently about why I believe the Word of God is true. And Earl just sat there ever so sweetly with a look on his face of love. That's good, Rick. I'm glad. So after I talked probably about 30 minutes, and Earl looks at me and goes, "That's good, Rick. God said it. I believe it. That settles it." And I go, "Man, I wish I would have said that." You got to save me 30 minutes. So anyway, when God comes to us, his part to us is to give us the knowledge of who he is. He's just saying, see it. He's given to his heavenly checkbook that says that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And Satan would con us to tell us that the things of the world are richer than the things of heaven. Something's wrong there. So anyway, what's our part in this? Well, it's in the book of James, which I should have had read earlier, which it's not the next slide, I don't not think. Well, yeah, there it is. But let me read you the whole thing, if you would grant me that. Because in this is all the fullness of these four things. It says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Prove yourselves doers." But that Greek word there for doers literally means to create. It's this thing about creating. It's like, that's the only word I can think of in English is practice. "But prove yourselves creators of the word," or doers of the word in us, "not merely hearers only who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks in a natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, immediately he's forgotten what kind of person he was." We'll talk about those other things. But I want to focus on this part, where it says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness, receive the implanted word of God, which is able to save your souls." One word I want to focus on, the word receive. And first off, I want to say about this is that when God has given us this to us, real simple, but there's an attitude of truth that enables us to receive this. And there's just a few things I just want to speak. And don't hear these things to do, just as some things that have proved effective in my life. Because that old phrase that's used, you know, attitude will determine altitude. And that's so true in every facet of our life. Your attitude about every situation you enter into will always determine the altitude of which you go through it. So anyway, so it's just create this attitude of in line with the truth of God. Now, the first thing I want to speak to you is this word receive. And it's really interesting word. And it's a very interesting word. So, the word receive is a Greek word, middle voice, literally meaning God's offering it, we'll receive it. In other words, in fact, there's three words, you say this before, a Greek verb, there's three ways a Greek verb can be expressed in action in relationship to the noun. One is, the noun does it on its own. It's active. Then there's another one is that where the noun receives the action. That's called passive tense. In other words, where you sit back and it comes to you. And the third one is called middle voice, where it means that the noun participates with the action. And so I got $5. Anybody want to receive it? You want to receive it? That's receiving. Anne Marie wanted it. rest of you were kind of questioning it. Some of you go, I want it. Give it to her. See what else I got here. Sorry, BJ, I'll buy you lunch. See, that's what God's doing to us. And I want you to notice what happened in the room here. When I said, here's $5, do you want to receive it? Somebody raised your hands. Yeah, okay. And you, and some of you were just uncertain. Like BJ just said to me right here, if you, I want it, you're being passive. That's passive tense of the verb. Some of you are uncertain. I mean, like I'm speaking about the promises of God in relation to this book, and you're going, yeah, okay, Rick said that. How many of you are going to, when you leave here this morning, you're going to search the scriptures and see whether these things that I'm saying today are so? If they are so, you will take the promises of God, you will apply them to their lives, and you, the question is, which I believe is true, you will see growth. You will see something change in your life. Where is Michael Tag? Come here, Michael. Come here.
Yeah, Michael.
Come here, Michael. Tell them about the finances, bro.
About my finances?
That financial thing you faced last week when we were in Atlanta.
Okay.
Two obstacles.
Yeah, I was paying rent at my apartment and also at the internship. And then I was also, my manager at Starbucks had told me that I was going to get demoted, which I was already like $100 from, like my income was $900. My expenses were like $800. So he told me that I was going to get demoted, which would have bought me a like $700, $600 income. So while I was in Atlanta, we were talking about like faith and grace. And it's just like, yeah, I give it all to God and like,
start claiming.
Yeah, Hebrews started.
12, yeah. 5 and 6, he'll never leave you,
never leave me, never forsake me. And yeah, so my man, the next day, I think Monday, I was at work, and I got a text that said, I think David Curtis told me, like, someone's coming by to look at the apartment, and literally, like, 30 minutes after I got that text, my manager pulled me into the back, and he was like, hey, so the person that was coming in to replace you decided she wants to move to Georgia. I'm going to keep you in your shift supervisor position. And then basically right after that, I got another text that said the guy's going to take the apartment. So that was really cool.
I like it.
That's middle voice. Second thing in this verse that's important, and notice what it says: in humility, receive. In humility, receive. Well, it's interesting that humility is not a really good translation for that. It's really a better translation. It's really not a good translation, to be honest with you. It's the word that's commonly used, meek. That gets translated meekness. The meek will inherit the earth? Yeah. Humble means to make low. Humility, I mean, meekness is sort of one of the translators one of the dictionaries I was reading said that it's really, there's no English word to describe this. In fact, go to the next slide, please. Yeah, here's what it says. Humility, meekness. This guy named Zodiades, Spiros Zodiades, I consider one of the best Greek scholars. Notice what he says. Meekness It's that attitude of the Spirit where we accept God's dealings with us as good and do not dispute or resist. It's not this, the reason why you have a tendency in English when you use the word meek, it has a way to communicate weak. In fact, I was wanting to do a video this morning, and in the picture that came to my mind, I don't know if any of y'all ever saw that movie about King Kong, both either the old one or the new one. And the scene where King Kong is there with the girl, and you got this big, powerful hand comes down, and he just gently picks her up. And so meekness is literally power under control. His reaching toward that lady in that is meekness. It's not a thing of weakness. It's a thing where there's massive power and it's under control. And so when it says, in meekness, receive the implanted word of God. In other words, with an attitude of you're powerful, but you're going for it. And you're going to open yourself up, like this statement says. It's an attitude. We accept God's dealings with us and don't try to negotiate him with us. And do not dispute or resist. Because go to the next slide. Notice this, the reality of this in John 7:17. It says, if anyone is willing to do his will. And y'all have heard me say this before. But anytime you deal with the Word of God and receiving the Word of God into your life, is God will write a contract out. But the problem is with God's contracts to us, all that is on it are the parties involved and there are no terms on the contract. He slides it across the table and he says, here, sign this. And so automatically there's a complete surrender into the will of him before he reveals the terms. Because, I mean, the things of God are so big and so powerful. And many times on the front, it's a place that where you have to make a choice to live to the Spirit. And as you live to the Spirit, you'll put to death the deeds of the flesh. And what we want to do is, God, put to death the deeds of our flesh so we can live to the Spirit. It don't work that way. I'm quoting Romans chapter 8, verse 13. If by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. In other words, if you live to the how you deal with flesh or how you deal with the obstacles of this world, you live to the Spirit. And as we live to the Spirit, it puts aside things. And it's. I remember one time with God, he's so powerful, and the things that he has for us so awesome. There was this guy one time that had visions and aspirations to be a Hollywood actor. In fact, he had an offer to go to, what's that big acting school in New York? Is it Juilliard? Is that just for music or is that just for acting also? Is that acting too? Pardon me? Ballet? Whatever that big school was up in New York City, he had like the offer to go to it. At the same time he gets this offer to go to New York City, this dude prophesied over him about this youth ministry. That he had. And so right before him was this opportunity. He's going, okay, God, do I pursue my dreams and my passions and go get this training in New York and then hopes and believe I'm going to be this big actor? And then all of a sudden, he gets this offer of an inner city church in Nashville, Tennessee. I mean, inner city church. I'm talking about inner city church. Not a glamorous church. Inner city church. In Nashville, Tennessee. And so he has this choice, either acting in his, quote, dreams, or, Lord, he who seeks to save his life will what? Lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will what? Find it. So he goes, okay, Lord, I choose this. And so he heads in this direction. So he's working and ministering hard in this church. God's doing crazy things, but, I mean, it's rough. He even gets beat up, I mean, on the streets. I mean, he gets hammered. But, guys, people are getting saved. People are getting ministered to. In fact, he reminds me a lot, Craig, the guy. You know who he is? The guy is Josh Randall's brother-in-law. I don't know if y'all remember. But anyway, while he's doing this youth ministry, all of a sudden there was this movie going to be made in Nashville. And so, you know, so he overhears about it. Don't pay any mind like that. He's just trying to minister to Jesus. And one of his friends says to him, "Hey, man, you know, portfolio or something, to just put it in on that, put it in for it." He says, "Man, they've been interviewing people. They've been doing whatever it is where they screen test or whatever." You know, I feel like I'm doing charades today. And so, anyway, he says, "They're already doing all that, you know." And he says, so he hurriedly gets something together, just gives it in. He's not even thinking about what he's doing, you know. He does it, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, they call him, and they say, "Hey, man, we want you to do this part." Out of the blue. And, I mean, they didn't do nothing. He gets this part in a movie that's playing, guess what, his first role is before his movie career starts off. And now he's in movies, y'all. But his first role was a youth leader in an inner city church. And he gets beat up in the movie. You know, and so what he's doing is, in humility, in meekness, he sets in the direction that God tells him to go, and God exalts him. And so this attitude of heart for God. And then the next thing is that I want to speak is in relationship. Go to the next slide. Is that hearing God. God is going to reveal himself in your senses three ways. That's why you see in Hebrews 5:14, having your senses trained to discern good from evil. What are you hearing? Faith comes by what? Faith comes by what? Realize that. No hearing, no. Anything not of faith is sin. What are you hearing? That's why Mark and Luke tells us, be careful what you hear. Be careful how you hear. Faith comes by hearing. And notice the next slide. Notice this. It says, seeing. What are you seeing? What are you seeing about who God is? What are you seeing about who you are? I love this. These two, if y'all want to know my passage scripture, these two are my favorite passage scriptures. Be honest with me, this one saved my life. 3:18, we with an unveiled face is beholding in a mirror, what? The glory of the Lord. We see the glory, it transforms us into the, what? Same image, as from glory to glory. And I love this passage in Romans 4:17, where it says, as is written, a father in many nations I have made you. It says in the presence of him, it literally means in the sight of him. In other words, God saw him as a father of many nations when he did not have any kids. Abraham chose to see himself as God saw him. You know, I had people who saw me as a failure in high school. In my early days, even in college. Saw me as a hypocrite. I had one person say, "Man, Sizemore, when you were younger, you were a devil." I mean, and it wasn't because I was this big bad person. I was just a devil. I was a jerk. It's the only way I know to characterize it. And that was the opinions of the world. But at some point in time, I made a choice to see myself as God saw, or see my circumstances as God sees my circumstances. There's plenty of times in your lives that your circumstance, the facts of the world, do not line up with the truth of what you see in the Word of God. You have to make a choice. How do I see this circumstance? And you want to know how you see the circumstance, listen to the words of your mouth about your circumstances. If you catch yourself complaining about your circumstances, you're giving power into the devil in those circumstances. But if you get in the circumstances and you give thanks to God for him in the circumstances, you release him into your circumstances. Listen to your words. Power, death, and life in the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. What do you see? What you hear? Next one. This was, what you hear, what you see, I know what happened. What you see, what you hear, and you remember that past scripture that was, that slide that was completely out of place at the very beginning when I was preaching? Yeah, 1 John 4:19. It says, we love, why? Y'all, let me just say this. If you don't think love's not an emotion or feeling, it is. But always, with all kind of emotions, you always ask those two questions. What's being signaled? How do you respond? What I believe God's calling us into, to feel, to sense his love, in feeling and sensing his love, I can then do what? Give it. If I'm not feeling his love, y'all, something's wrong. It's not on his part. He's expressing it. In fact, he has so much expressed that he says, God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. Could it be that some of us in here don't feel his love because we've been looking for love in all the wrong places? I think that's a song. Something's happening with our hearts that would hinder us from receiving the love. And so, receive what you hear. Pay attention to what you're hearing. Pay attention to what you're seeing. Pay attention to what you're feeling. And when you get an impression from God, that, in other words, you're getting an impression of the character and nature of who Jesus is, express that expression, what you're getting, what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what you're feeling. Now, here's the next one I want to say in closing this out. This is probably the most important part of this thing, is understanding. Is Cynthia here today? She was in class Wednesday night, and she asked this question. The most powerful thing that you and I can do in our walk with God is understand. Notice this passage. Go to the next slide, please. Oh, cool. Oops. Go to the next one. It's somewhere in here. Okay, I'll skip, go back. Somehow I didn't put it in there. Oh, there it is, Matthew 13:15. Notice the power of this. It says, for Jesus said this when he's telling a parable. He says, for the heart of this people has become dull or hardened. We'll talk about it in sometime next year about hardness of heart. But here's the reality, y'all. Hebrews chapter 5 does say this in verse 11. He says, for you have become dull of hearing. And y'all know the deal is that, and you've been around me enough to hear this, if you give expression to an impression, you become more impressionable. But if you receive an impression and do not give an expression to it, you become hardened. So when all of a sudden you're hearing the Word of God and not giving expression in some way, shape, or form in your life, you become dull. It becomes like all of a sudden somebody's declaring something about the goodness of God, and it's just like, okay. I remember at seminary, we're in class, and the professors, they'd begin every class, you know, I want any testimonies. People would raise their hands. Oh, man, I want to give thanks today. Man, out on the streets last night, we led 3 people to Jesus. And, you know, Professor Dr. Brooks would go, let us rejoice. God's honest truth. Y'all remember one time, a guy, Dr. Brooks goes, anybody want to share something this morning? This guy goes, I do. My wife had her first child last night. Oh, man, it's so awesome. And that's what Dr. Brooks goes. He really did. He grabbed the podium, 2 hands. Let us rejoice. I'm going, bro, let it go. You're teaching the book of Acts. Come on. Speak in tongues, do something. Yo, go. I don't know what that's got to do with this. No, dull, yeah. Notice the next one. Notice this. And they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears. Okay, if you see, you hear. Notice the result. The thing is, it says here, and understand with your heart. Literally what understanding means is from the Greek word sunistimi, literally meaning to place together. And it's really kind of interesting to me. Back in the Jesus days, they didn't have puzzles. So I went to the children's area, and I got a sophisticated puzzle. You know, four pieces. But what'll happen is, help me, Mitchie Poo. And so what'll happen is, God will give you, God will give you revelations of things, but it's always will be in pieces. You remember in 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about, you know, it's in the chapter on love. And it says this statement. It says, now we see through a mirror dimly. Well, that Greek word for dimly literally means in pieces. You're hearing from God revelations that have to be put together. And I don't have the ability to do this right now, but you have to place things together. And they have two. It's a little, Lord, give him understanding. How many adults does it take to put a child's four-piece puzzle together? See, what'll happen is you'll receive a revelation, and you have to, two things, understand what it means. Like Jesus made a statement to the disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees. Well, they're thinking that he's upset because they didn't take any bread with him after he fed the 5,000. And so they didn't put it together. He was talking about faith and being aware of the teaching of the Pharisees. They didn't put it together what he was talking about. And the important thing is, all of a sudden, God's speaking something into your life. What does it mean? Like for in John chapter 6, Jesus told the disciples, if you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you know, what did he say? Something about drinking my blood and eating my flesh. And all of a sudden everybody's going, whoa. Because they did not understand what he was talking about. In John 63 and 62, he says, did what I say trouble you? And they go, this is a difficult statement. Who can understand it? And then he said, the words that I have spoken to you our spirit and our life. Oh, like it says in Matthew chapter 6, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. Well, I don't see any one-eyed people in here, so you must be disobedient to the word of God. No, you hopefully understand that when Jesus said that, he's not talking about in the physical, he's talking about the spirit. He's talking about being dead in Christ. And so what when God speaks something to you, first thing, what is the meaning? Second thing is, how does it fit into your life? If you hear and do not understand, according to Matthew 13, Satan comes and steals it out of the way. Right now, we're talking about, going to talk about four things that you and I can grow. Do you understand what I'm saying? The first thing is to receive the word. Receive what he's speaking to you, either what you hear, see, or feel. Either through revelations of his word, his truth, or his glory. Do you understand? And realize this, that everything he's saying, go to the next slide, please. I hope. One more. Realize this. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, before this verse, Jesus says, and eye has not seen, ear has not heard, all that God has prepared for those who love him. And in verse 10 says, he has revealed it to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And then it goes on to talk about, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know, oh man, the things freely given to us by who? By God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, But those taught by the Spirit, and it's interesting, putting together literally spiritual words. Well, it's literally spiritual spirituals. Spiritual words with spiritual thinking. The next verse says, the soulish man cannot discern the things of the Spirit, for their foolishness to him. Soulish is the intellectual person. So when I'm hearing what I'm speaking right now, are you hearing in the Spirit? Are you evaluating the situations and circumstances of your life right now in the Spirit? Are you trying to figure things out in the flesh, soulish, or spiritual? How many, don't raise your hands. What I'm about to say. How many of you are having dreams that you're going, what is this? What's going on? Don't raise your hands, because I'm going to ask you some more. You got some things, dreams are coming, and you don't know what they're going on. God just don't give you things to give you things. If you don't seek understanding of the dreams, your heart will become hardened. Give expression to it in some way, at least write the dream down. How many of you, don't raise your hands, you're hearing things from God. You hear, well, you may not know they're from God. They're thoughts that have been coming in your head. But I will say this to you. You're hearing things and you're not sure where they're from. You know, one of the things that we had, a thing we always did for Christmas and Thanksgiving when we have family get-togethers, we always did this thing about put puzzles together. So if you come over to Sizemore House during Christmas or Thanksgiving, we'll have one of those 1,000 people pieces of puzzles put out on the kitchen table, and we're sitting there trying to put these puzzles together. What do you always do when you have a piece that you don't know where it goes? What do? Well, look at the what? Look at the box. On the box is a picture that hopefully can give you a guide where the piece fits. What happens when you hear something from God, you're not sure where the piece goes? Look at Jesus. Some of the pieces you'll feel that you're thinking, I need to say this, and it don't look like Jesus, and you need to repent then. Something's going on in me that's not in line with what I'm hearing. So, and I'm sorry it's going long, but it's so important for us right now, because many of us have become dull of hearing. We've closed our eyes to the things of God. We're hearing things, we're feeling things, and we're seeing things. And God's saying, understand, understand, understand. So anyway, well, Lord, anybody got anything? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time we can be together. Lord, you are so awesome, and you've called us into this destiny to grow into the very likeness of who you are. And Lord, you're revealing yourself. You're not hiding yourself. And Lord, in fact, the Greek word for mystery has to do with things once hidden now being revealed. God, where you're talking about the mystery of Christ, which you say is Christ in us, hope of glory. Lord, we just we want to experience and see the realities of you in every facet of our lives and in our existence. God, I thank you that you're such an awesome God. Lord, your love is beyond fathom and understanding. Your mercy and your grace is just so awesome. And Lord, human words cannot hardly describe it. But God, we just want to see you clearly. Forgive us for hearing and trying to measure it in human and fleshly things. Even like me preaching right now. Well, Rick didn't have good grammar. He was kind of confused or here or there. Lord, I pray that the smoke of bad delivery and bad grammar and all that kind of stuff may be blown away, and people see the things of the Spirit that you're trying to speak. God, that we can hear it and we be thoroughly equipped to receive your word, the implanted word which is able to save our souls. So God, I just thank you so much. Lord, I pray right now for anybody who does not know you as their Lord and Savior. I pray right now, Lord, that person, Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, they would not brush aside another time, Lord, that opportunity. Lord, I hear right now there's some of us in this room that have compromised. We've measured things in compromise. And God, we're right now, we got tough choices. You're right now saying, no compromise, no compromise. Lord, but you say you've got good things. So God, I just declare in Jesus' name, life right now. Life. Can I have the prayer teams come up, please? We're going to close shop. You got something?
I just want you, I want to encourage you to just remember, just a good follow-up of this message is coming this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. To this conference about atmospheres of grace. You're talking about, you know, trying to begin to understand how to walk in grace and how to walk in this facet of grace with relationships, with people. Man, it would be such a good, such a great follow-up to this word. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, if you, at all possible, you know, come out Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I want you to stand this morning. I just felt like the Lord is saying that if you need somebody to agree with you on something, come before you leave. If you're having a hard time hearing, seeing, or putting together, I mean, it's just an awesome opportunity to step out and take the $5 bill, to step out and take the $20 bill, right? If everybody says, I want freedom and I really want to understand, I want to hear, but you go home and you don't get agreement or you just keep trying to do the same thing, that sometimes that's that passive, and the Lord wants you to be active in your faith this morning. So I just want to encourage you. It's not a pressure to come up. It's just take the five. Be like Tom, like, well, I want to see a 20. You know, whatever that looks like, but go for it, you know. So, Lord, I just thank you for this morning. I just pray that in Jesus' name, if somebody needs, Lord, to just agreement with somebody, that they would feel free to come and get prayer this morning. They'd be feel free to agree that they would be able to hear and see and receive the implanted word of God that would receive their soul to understand, Lord, how you're putting it all together. And, Lord, I just pray for that. And I just pray a release of your kingdom to walk this word into this word and through the word that we'll be sharing over the next couple of weeks. But, Lord, we pray for that in Jesus' name. So I just want to encourage you, this Thursday, Friday, Saturday is a conference. Next Thursday, Friday, Saturday is actually a cool opportunity over at Tech. It's called Awaken the Dawn. It's going to be a 50-hour prayer and worship time. And so if you have any questions, see Jared and Emily. They're kind of helping head that up. But every state capital and a lot of college campuses are agreeing at the same time. So let's be a part of that as well. But this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, come. Amen? Feel free to come and get some prayer this morning. Amen? And be released.